السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين، صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, also our sisters listening over receivers, we all are aware of the siege of Baitul Muqaddas, of Masjid Al-Aqsa, and we know that the dominance of the Yahud in collaboration even with the Nasara, who at one time were such enemies that they didn't want to even look at each other. They were condemning each other. However, against Islam, they have all united. Nevertheless, so that is something that is now common knowledge, everybody knows. And for years this has been happening as far as the control of Masjid Al-Aqsa is concerned. It is more or less in the hands of the Israelis. They are controlling the movement, who must enter and who mustn't enter. And all kinds of restrictions are placed on those people who wish to go and perform the Salat there. Age limitations are placed, etc., etc. I'm not going into all those details, it requires a lot of time. As far as the history of Jerusalem is concerned, it is a long, long history, and every Muslim should make an effort to read those books in which there is great detail that is available. However, this Jumu'ah, because we have been all concerned and everybody is told to say something at least about Masjid Al-Aqsa. So in the 15 minutes or so that we have, how much can we discuss? But one or two points that come to mind is that if we have to look at Kaabatullah Sharif and look at Masjid Al-Aqsa, we are in the months of Hajj, Shawwal, Zilqa'dah, Zilhijjah. Very close will be in the days of Hajj, but these are the months of Hajj. So one side there is the Kaabatullah Sharif, and one side it is Masjid Al-Aqsa. There are lots of similarities between these two places. If you have to look at the history, there are lots of similarities. On the one hand, if you have to look at the construction or the establishment itself of the Kaaba Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala declares that it was the first house. Inna awwala baytin wudi'a lin-nas lalladhi bibakkata mubarakan wa hudal lil-alamin. Now, without going into any kind of tafsir or any kind of detailed discussion, so that was the first. Now, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala was not talking about the construction of a house. The first thing that was built, the first house built for the establishment established for the worship of Allah Ta'ala was the Kaaba Sharif. So that is the tajalli of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That Kaaba Sharif, which was that tajalli ga of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that was the first. It's not those stones that make up the Kaaba Sharif. Because it is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif very clearly that almost 2000 years before the earth was created, before the skies were there, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created the Kaaba Sharif. So now which earth was it on? Therefore we say that the Kaaba Sharif is not those stones that is there. We make our Qibla, the Kaaba Sharif, we make tawaf around the Baitullah. But in reality it is the tajalli of Allah Ta'ala which is coming directly and coming onto that spot of ground or that piece of ground which is actually the Kaaba Sharif. Therefore if a person is flying in the aeroplane, we say he must face the Qibla. Now which Qibla is he facing in the aeroplane? The person is high up in the spaceship, which Qibla is he going to face? If he's up in the heavens, which Qibla is going to face? So the thing is that we are facing in that direction where the tajalli is coming down. Now there's a great amount of discussion on that, but this is the first thing we must keep in mind. That the first thing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala created was this, for the for the purpose of his worship. So Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that after that, then what did Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala create? Then he said Masjid Aqsa. He said, first what was established? He said Kaaba Sharif. And after that he said Masjid Aqsa. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala did us a favor by asking Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that how long after the Kaaba Sharif? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said 40 years after that. Now if you have to look at time, thousands of years that are going by, just 40 years, what difference does it make? So time-wise also you can see it's very close. On the one hand it is Baytullah, we call it Baytullah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not made of any jism and body that he needs a home to live in. Again it clearly indicates that is the tajalli of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Therefore the awliya and the mashayikh and the great akabir, they said that when you go to Makkah Sharif, what do you do? Do you make tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif? He said, yes, we make tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif. So he said, what is the Kaaba Sharif? He said, Baytullah. He said, but do you know the Rabbul Bayt? Who is the Rabbul Bayt? He said, the real tawaf is of Rabbul Bayt. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has tajalli. So hit the Kaaba Sharif, and after 40 years, Masjid Aqsa, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala established. So the first was in that tajalli, after that on the ground. Then if you have to look at the construction part of it, besides the other constructions that took place on the ground now, on the earth, then Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his son Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, both Nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that was the construction by them. And if you look at the construction, the different constructions and the Masjid Aqsa again, we get Hazrat Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam and then his son Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Now again we get two Nabis here and we get two Nabis there. They are the ones who are actively engaged in that construction. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Ismail, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions clearly in the Quran Sharif, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلِ. So here the construction is again by two Nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. One of course constructed it and the other completed it, that is the Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. But in reality there are two Nabis here, there are again two Nabis there, besides the other constructions that took place. Then if we have to look at the names, on the one side we get Baytullah and on the other side we get Baytul Quds, and it's also called Baytul Muqaddas and Baytul Quddus. One of the names of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is Quddus. If you have to see Surah Hashar, the last ayat, from Allahu la ilaha illa huwal hayy, Allahu la ilaha illa hu, alimul ghaybi wa shahada. Wa huwa Allahu alladhi la ilaha illa hu, alimul ghaybi wa shahada, huwa ar-Rahmanur Rahim. Then after that, what comes? Huwa Allahu alladhi la ilaha illa hu, al-Malikul Quddus. So one of the names of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, just as we say Baytullah, so Baytul Quddus. Then if you have to look at Baytullah, that is Masjid al-Haram, and if you have to look at Baytul Muqaddas, then both remain Qibla. Both remain Qibla. In fact, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if you have to look at the ayat of Qibla, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. If you have to look at those ayat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, now it is mentioned, there are differences, different riwayat, that when he was in Makkah Mukarrama also, because the Qibla of Hazrat Ibrahim and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam was Kaabatullah Sharif, so therefore he used to make, and he was ordered to make namaz towards Masjid Al-Aqsa. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to stand between the Hatim, between the Rukne Yamani and Hajre Aswad. And he is to make the namaz so that whilst he is facing the Kaaba Sharif, is also facing Masjid Aqsa. But after coming to Madina Tawayyibah, it still remained for about 16 to 17 months. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam faced Masjid Aqsa and made namaz, or Jerusalem and made namaz, according to the hukam of Allah Ta'ala. But he was constantly looking at the skies. It was his deep-hearted desire that Kaabatullah Sharif must become the Qibla of the Muslims for all times. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's ayat were revealed and he turned towards the Kaaba Sharif. There is a mention that he did that in Medina Sharif because now he was confronted with the Jews and he thought that in this way they also will come closer to Islam. But instead of coming closer to Islam, they did what was in their nature and they kept on opposing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam at every turn. Finally, the ayat came and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam faced the Kaaba Sharif. However, some have mentioned that from the beginning it was Kaaba Sharif, but when he came to Medina Sharif, then he was told to face Masjid al-Aqsa. But whatever it was, but there are similarities that there is a kind of Qibla that is there for the Muslims for a period of time, which was Masjid al-Aqsa, and after that Kaabatullah Sharif for all times. So again, there is a similarity. In the same way, if you have to look at Masjid al-Haram, that the sawab of your namazes are increased tremendously. Sawab of namazes. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned that 100,000 times sawab you get. I'm giving you the gist of those ahadith. The time is too limited. 100,000 times sawab if the person makes his namaz in Masjid al-Haram. Or if the person makes any ibadat, zikr, tilawat, Quran Sharif, whatever he does there by explanation. All that, the rewards are multiplied. Therefore, once a person was there with us a few years ago, and his father passed away here in South Africa. So he was straight away packing up his bags, and he said, I want to get away. I said, what are you going to go and do? You have a ticket which is valid for another 1 week, or you got visas valid still, and you are going to stay for one more week. Are you rushing now to South Africa? What are you going to do? Is there anybody there that can take care now of your mother and all the other things that are happening there? He said, yes, there is. My brothers are there, family is there. I said, then look at the rewards you will get here. Will you go to South Africa and read 100,000 times Quran Sharif? One Quran Sharif khatam, if you will make here 100,000 times sawab for your father. So you rather remain here, one two rakat namaz you are going to make, you are going to get 100,000 namaz sawab. So isn't that better? You are going to go there, your father is already buried. All you are going to do is go to the Qabristan and read some surahs. So the sawab of everything is multiplied 100,000 times. And Masjid al-Aqsa, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said 1,000 times. Then if you have to look at ihram, that just as we put ihram and we go for hajj, we go for umrah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has recommended that a person should put on his ihram from Masjid al-Aqsa and go to Masjid al-Haram and make the tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif and make his umrah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, on one occasion when somebody mentioned about, or when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned about going to Masjid al-Aqsa, then must go. So then the person said, if we can't afford to go, all of us can't go to Masjid al-Aqsa and go and get those rewards. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, then send some olive oil, so that those lamps which are lit in Masjid al-Aqsa, your olive oil may be the means of the lighting of those lamps. In other words, if you cannot make it there, then give some kind of assistance and get the rewards of Masjid al-Aqsa by helping and assisting. Now, this is all with regards to Masjid al-Aqsa and Masjid al-Haram. Now, there are so many other things which are flooding my mind, but I don't know which direction to go. So, we come to the main issue now, that if these are the virtues, and then again it has been mentioned very clearly that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that day of Qiyamah, first I will rise from my grave. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will come out first. Ah, what a view, what an enjoyment and what ecstasy will surround the hearts of the people after they come out and see Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So he said, first I will come out. Thereafter Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, then the people of the graveyard of Medina Tayyiba, they will rise. Resurrection now is taking place. Then we will go halfway between Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Tayyiba, and the people of Makkah Mukarramah buried in the graveyard there, they will rise and they will come and meet. And then the Hashar and resurrection, the land of that is going to be Syria and Sham. So all these things are showing the great amount of virtues of these Mubarak places. And it is absolutely clear in the Quran Sharif that the Mi'raj of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi laylam minal masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. Alladhi barakna hawlahu. Now all that, those ayat and everything clearly indicates the virtues of these Mubarak places. So therefore it is from time immemorial the virtues of this Mubarak places. Now just as from time immemorial we have the virtues of these Mubarak places, from time immemorial it is as if the Jews are hell-bent on destroying, on somehow attacking the Muslims, or plotting, planning, scheming. They didn't leave Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They didn't leave his Mubarak, he didn't leave his Mubarak wife, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. Look at the slander campaign against her. And look at all the other problems that they gave to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They even constructed what they called a masjid, Masjid al-Dirar. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala called it Masjid al-Dirar. This masjid also was constructed for no other purpose. They just wanted Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to come and make one namaz in that masjid to give it some kind of sanctity and blessing. And thereafter they could have said, look, the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala came and performed his namaz in this masjid. So therefore it's a virtuous masjid. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala stopped him from going there, and that masjid was afterwards of course destroyed. But it was the same munafiqeen and the same Jews, the Zionists as we call them today. They were the ones plotting and planning all the time that if Nabi, that in that masjid, so-called masjid, there was nothing there except all kinds of meetings taking place, secret meetings, how to attack, how to harm the Muslim Ummah. So this is a history, we cannot deny it. There's a whole history. And if you have to go back also, look at the trouble and problems that they gave to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So recently now this is of course a fact that whether it is Britain, whether it's America, whether it is Russia, whether it is China, or whether it is India or even Iran, everybody seems to be getting together to somehow harm this cause. Outwardly lots of things are said. And every person seems to be fighting for the sake of Palestine. However, if you have to look at it, at the end of the day, there are very few who are really, really dedicated and committed, who have got no other agenda except the defense of Masjid Al-Aqsa. And those are those Palestinian brothers of ours who are prepared to give their lives, sacrifice their homes, sacrifice their families. Look at the number of children that they have lost. Look at the buildings that have collapsed over their heads. And look at the number of things that whatever they possessed have been destroyed. Look at the helicopters, look at the planes, and look at all the bombs and missiles that rained upon them. A small community, but look at their resistance. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them such kind of imani quwwat. Don't look at those little weaknesses that they may have, because we've got much, much more than that. But who else could have stood up to those mighty enemy forces except those people who had such kind of imani quwwat and taqat in them and strength in them? Then, as I mentioned yesterday in the interview on one of the radio stations, then we say that then why is Allah Ta'ala's nusrat and help not coming? We see that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is still protecting Masjid Al-Aqsa, and they are somehow able to resist all those forces, the most strongly and heavily armed Israel in the Middle East, who else has got so much of weapons and so much of military and everything else, and fully backed by America and others, were those people with stones and with hardly any ammunition, and they are prepared to challenge them and throw and take them out of Masjid Al-Aqsa. So the fact is that, as I mentioned yesterday, that in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when there was jihad, whether it was the Battle of Badr, Battle of Uhud, Khandaq, and all these other places that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went, there was one group that they knew fully well, these are the mushrikeen, these are the kuffar, these are the yahood, these are the nasara. And on the other hand, they knew the munafiqeen, that these are the hypocrites. They knew them very well. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was also informed that these are the munafiqeen. So the munafiqeen, although they joined sometimes in the battle, but they turned around and came back home. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, those companions who were with him, there was no question of anybody fighting for his own agenda, that if we have to get victory, then we will benefit in this way and that way. Nothing like that. There was no enmity between them. They were united. One force they were. The unity that was amongst them. Whether they were muhajirs that came from Makkah Mukarramah and settled in Madinah Tayyibah, or whether they were ansars of Madinah Tayyibah. But they became one brotherhood, one family, one unit. They were prepared to sacrifice everything for the Islam, for the sake of deen. And therefore, when they went into battle, a few lives were taken. And that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because he mentions in the Quran Sharif, an'amallahu alayhim من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. So there had to be a group of shuhada also. And look at the great virtues of the shuhada. So some people did lose their lives, whether it was in the battle of Uhud or other places. But the victory, look at it, was kissing their feet, as I said, wherever they went. The Muslims kept on spreading wherever they went. Sometimes they were in such minority that it was unbelievable that these people will be able to conquer a country. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them victory. Look at history of Islam and we'll see that how it is a reality. That wherever they went, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them victory. Look at how they spread right up to Spain on that side. They came to Africa. They went east, they went west, north, south. So many places they didn't even change only the culture of the people, but they even changed the language of the people. It was Egypt in Arabia. But look at what is the language there. In the same way, many other places, look at the language also changed. People accepted Islam looking at the character, looking at the akhlaq. Now here when Masjid al-Aqsa is under siege, when Muslims are losing their lives, when little children and babies and others are suffering, when there's such a kind of boycott that has been implemented, that even the necessities are not allowed to come into the Jerusalem. Now at such a time these people are defending, and at that time when those people themselves should have been united, at that time we see Hamas pulling in one direction, Fatah pulling in another direction. This has happened all the time. And when there is a kind of division and disunity, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmat and nusrat and help is held back. Now this is the sad part. Otherwise the sacrifices that they are making is unreal. But the leaders of the Muslim communities, the Arab countries, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give them hidayat, that we are not saying that they must fight for the sake of Arab nationalism. There's no question of Arab nationalism. Because if you have to look at the history of Jamal Abdel Nasser, he was there for Arab nationalism. And therefore there was a great hype for 15 years that we are going to get Masjid al-Aqsa under control, and we are going to destroy the Jews, and we are going to liberate the land of Aqsa and everything else. What happened? Within 5 days, everything was flattened. Within 5 days, all his military was over, finished. All those aeroplanes that were there were all finished. And his whole plans were all over because he was fighting for Arab nationalism, Arab. Here is not a question of Arab, just as Masjid, just Haram. We have great regard for it, and it is in our hearts and the love and compassion and the feeling that we have. In the same way, Masjid al-Aqsa is also ours. It is a Muslim cause. It is a dini cause. It is a religious cause. But now who are we going to tell that to? Because it is nothing but all bribes that work all over the world. That's what is happening. It's bribes. Bribes and bribes. They can buy off anybody. Now whether it is Mahmoud Abbas or whoever it may be. But the reality is this, that because of that severe division, and so much so that when it was 21 days of hammering, 21 days of bombardment, 21 days of destruction, and every kind of ammunition was used against those people. At that time also there was a group that was telling the Israelis and others that go on bombarding them and bashing them and destroying them, because we are the ones who are the representatives of the Palestinian people. And who was doing that? Muslims. So this is our weakness, that we say we are Muslims, but look at the division and that is in the community, is not only there, but here and everywhere else. So may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala liberate Masjid al-Aqsa, Palestine. Allah ta'ala must give them nusrat, his help, his assistance. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must strengthen their iman and their military power and their physical strength and their imani strength. And it is going to happen, it is going to be liberated someday. But in our lifetime or not, we don't know. So we will have to go on helping, assisting in whichever way we can, whether it is financially, materially, and especially with our du'as. If we can't do anything else, we can every day, morning, evening, after namaz. Don't wait for the imam. Imam will make a short du'a and finish, but we can always make du'a late night. Ya Allah, help and assist the mujahideen of Islam, and especially those who are in Palestine. Although our feeling and sympathy is for all Muslims throughout the world, and of mankind throughout the world, we must have sympathy for all of them. Because people sometimes ask, things are happening around here, why all don't worry? And then suddenly happening in Palestine, everybody worries. So the reason for that is what I just explained, that it has got great amount of religious value and significance. But at the same time, we will help and assist wherever it is required. But more so when it is in Palestine, because Masjid Aqsa and Masjid Haram, there are a lot of similarities, great virtues. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of amal wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.